These verses that we consider tonight, as I said, form the conclusion of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Every good sermon has a theme. So did this sermon, the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Jesus emphasized in this sermon that the kingdom of God is a kingdom of righteousness. And only those who are righteous are allowed to enter in and to enjoy its blessings. During the course of this rather lengthy sermon, Jesus demonstrated what true righteousness is over against the false righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, mind you, righteousness in the Bible has the idea of obedience to the law of God. The scribes and the Pharisees in Israel, they were religious leaders, were reputed to be those who were especially righteous, obedient to God. The scribes were known as the students of the law, and the Pharisees were known as the doers of the law. There was a saying that if only two people would ever enter the kingdom, one would be a scribe and one would be a Pharisee. But Jesus points out in this sermon that the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees is a false righteousness and doesn't even allow them entrance into the kingdom. Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, says Jesus, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom. Matthew 5, verse 20. In contrast to the false righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, Jesus demonstrates what true righteousness, what true obedience to God's law is all about. And the verses we consider tonight form the conclusion to all this instruction. Notice Jesus speaks here of those that hear His sayings. We're not talking, therefore, just about anyone. We're talking about those who come under the pale of the gospel. They hear the preaching of the gospel and what Jesus says. Primarily, we're talking about people in the church. And Jesus indicates that there are some that hear His sayings and will do them. The word really is practice them. And then there are others who hear His sayings who do not practice them in their lives. Jesus compares these two kinds of hearers to two men who are building houses. The one that practices what Jesus says is to be compared to a wise builder that builds his house upon a rock. And this house of his will stand and withstand the storms of life. He is wise. The one, however, that does not practice what Jesus says is to be compared to a builder who builds his house on a sand. And when the storms of life come, his house will be completely demolished. This builder is foolish. Even though Jesus doesn't call this a parable, it partakes of the nature of a parable and has been called the parable of the two builders. And I want to consider that tonight in connection with the confession of faith we heard, and in the connection with the confession of faith that many of us at one time of our life have made. Confession of faith, among other things, is a confession that one has heard the sayings of Jesus and is practicing them in his life. Faith has many different facets to it. One of which is it puts into practice the sayings of Jesus. Let's be careful to understand, however, what that means, to put into practice Jesus' sayings. In the verses that precede this, and that's the first part of what we read tonight, Jesus speaks of those who claim him as Lord. And their confession is, and will be in the day of judgment, that in the name of the Lord they prophesied, and in the name of the Lord they cast out devils, and in the name of the Lord they did many mighty works. But Jesus will say to them, I don't know who you are. Depart from me, for all your works and all your prophecy and all your miracles, you didn't do the will of my Father in heaven. You're a worker of iniquity. Judas Iscariot was a prime example of that. And so we must be careful to understand what it means to put into practice the sayings of Jesus and thus be a wise builder who builds something that will last into all eternity. I said every good sermon has a theme. This one is the wise builder. We notice who he is. Secondly, what he builds. Finally, what is the result? In this parable, Jesus describes two builders, each building a house for himself. They're building in the same vicinity. Evidently, in a valley through which a dry riverbed is found. For much of the year, this riverbed remains dry. But when the rains come, and they always came in Bible lands, this riverbed overflowed its banks and became a raging torrent. In that valley, two men build, one wisely, the other foolishly. We ought to understand what wisdom and foolishness are all about. Very simple. Wisdom is to deal with the obvious realities of life, to reckon with what's known reality and therefore, generally, to come out ahead. That's wisdom. Foolishness is just the opposite. It's to act without foresight. It's to ignore obvious reality, even act contrary to it, so that, alas, at end, what you do will fall apart. Well, the one builder is wise that Jesus describes. He takes into consideration that this valley and with its dry riverbed, it's not going to be that way always. The rains will come. The winds will blow. The floods will rise. And so, as he builds his house, he digs through the dirt, digs through the loose gravel, digs all the way down to the rock. And upon the rock, he builds his house. And the wisdom of that is shown that when the rains come and the floods rise and the wind beats against the house, his house that is built upon a rock stands. But the other builder is foolish. He ignores what will surely come. He simply looks at the dry riverbed. He ignores the rains that will come and the floods that will rise. And so he simply builds his house upon the loose sand and the loose gravel. And sure enough, here comes the rains, and the floods rise, and the wind beats against that house, and his house is destroyed in the storm, completely, utterly destroyed. Now that's the illustration Jesus gives here. In this parable, we have to understand one of the key elements here is what really does the building of one's house represent? And the building of one's house really represents the building of one's life here below. Every one of us is daily building a life for himself. The choices that you make each day, the actions that you perform from day to day, have bearing on your future. You're going to have to live with your choices that you make. What you do from day to day have implications for your future, even when you are old, not just when you are young. And so every day you are building a life for yourself. And many things go into the building of your life. They include, for example, the education that you get. Are you going to quit at high school? Are you going to go on to college? What kind of school will you attend? How will you apply yourself? That has implications for your future life. And what you do with your education, you're going to have to live with the rest of your life. What about the friends you choose? Are they godly to encourage you and assist you to serve the Lord? Or are they an ungodly bunch that will be a hindrance to you and lead you astray? The choice of your friends will have implications for the rest of your life. What about marriage? Will you marry or remain single? Whom will you marry? What kind of person will you marry? That's a major decision. You're going to have to live with that for the rest of your life, for good or for bad. What vocation will you choose? What kind of work are you going to do? Are you going to attend church? Are you going to attend regularly? Are you going to be involved? Which church will you attend? Again, very important decisions. And what you decide and what you practice, well, you're building your life. How are you going to raise your children? What you do with your children when they're young, and as they grow into their teenage years, you're going to have to live with, because you're fashioning and molding those children for good or for bad. And when they leave the home and they start raising their family, you're going to live with what you did with your children. You're building your life. And how are you going to entertain yourself? And what kind of lifestyle are you going to adopt? You're building a life, just as a man builds a home in which he wants to live. You're going to live in the future with what you do today. You're building every day your life. And in life, there are, in the building of one's life, there are two kinds of builders. There are wise builders and there are foolish builders. And according to Jesus, their wisdom or their folly is determined by what they do with the sayings of Jesus. What are these sayings of Jesus? Are they just what Jesus preached in the Sermon on the Mount? Not just that. Are they just the quotes that in some Bibles are in red letters that are found in the Gospel? No, it's not just that. It includes that. Don't forget that the whole of Scripture really is the revelation of God through Jesus Christ. Old and New Testament alike. In the broadest sense, the whole of Scripture is the teaching of Jesus. But we can also say that the whole theme and the whole message of Scripture is really summarized and condensed very beautifully in the Sermon on the Mount. You want to know the message of Scripture? The Sermon on the Mount summarizes it all. And what distinguishes the wise builder from the foolish builder is what he does with the sayings of Jesus. The wise builder hears the saying of Jesus. He comes to understand what they are, and he puts them into practice as he builds the house of his life. But the foolish builder, well, he also hears the saying of Jesus. And perhaps he's not as interested to know what the sayings of Jesus are, but he does know what they are, essentially, and he ignores them. As he builds the house of his life, he simply does not put them into practice. What about you? Remember, we're talking about those in the church. The wise and the foolish builders are those who hear the sayings of Jesus. What are you building in your life? That brings us to the second point, what they build. Let's see what kind of house the wise builder erects as he follows the sayings of Jesus. I said, the whole sayings of Jesus, as they are found in all of Scripture, are really summarized in the Sermon on the Mount. The theme of that sermon is the kingdom of God and its righteousness. And the point that Jesus leads to in this sermon, which is the climax of the sermon, chapter 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Those who hear and practice the sayings of Jesus will do that. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Let's see what that means, shall we? First of all, there is the matter of seeking the kingdom. Jesus Christ, after his perfect atoning work of the cross and death, was raised by God and exalted into heavenly glory, seated at God's right hand, clothed with power and authority, and he established the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Christ. Those are three names for the same entity. And Christ rules in the hearts and lives of his people by his grace. That kingdom isn't finished yet. It's begun. It will be finished when he comes again at the end of the world and makes all things new. That kingdom is very important. In that kingdom are found all the blessings of salvation. In that kingdom are found eternal life with God. Outside of that kingdom, there are no blessings of God. There is only death and ruin. And Jesus teaches this. This is the saying of Jesus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek a place in this kingdom. Seek to be a citizen of this kingdom, so that you can enjoy the blessings of the kingdom and the life of the kingdom now and eternally. Seek that. Seek that first. Don't make that second or third or fourth in priority. That is to be number one priority in your life. Seek the kingdom. When you decide on your education and you go to school to learn and prepare yourself for your future life here, seek the kingdom. When you choose your friends, seek the kingdom. When you decide about marriage and whom to marry and the family to raise, make sure that in all you are seeking the kingdom. Let none of your life be lived apart from this goal, seeking the kingdom. That's the saying of Jesus. To seek the kingdom and to have the kingdom and to be a part of that kingdom, you also have to have the righteousness of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That is the righteousness that God provides in Jesus Christ. Jesus emphasizes in this sermon, this is one of the heart of His sayings, the kingdom of God, which we must seek, is a kingdom of righteousness. Only those who are righteous have a place there. Only the righteous can be citizens. Well, do you have the righteousness, right? Remember, righteousness has the idea of obedience to God. Do you have a righteousness that will allow you into the kingdom? That will allow you to be a citizen? No, you don't. None of us do. And so God has graciously provided a righteousness in Jesus Christ. And the Bible emphasizes that there's two sides to this righteousness. A legal side and a spiritual side. Let's look at it legally. When we look at the righteousness God provides in Jesus Christ, we're not talking about now His work in our hearts to lead us in our living. We're not talking about that yet. That'll come in a minute. We're talking about God's judgment of you. God sits in judgment of every one of us day by day. And His verdict will either be guilty are righteous. I find sin in you. If that's His verdict, there's no place in the kingdom for us. Nothing but to be cast away. Only when His verdict is righteous, I find no fault in you. Everything I've required of you in my judgment has been met. That's the only way into the kingdom. You and I don't have a righteousness that will pass the scrutiny of God. He wants a perfect obedience. The best we're able to provide of ourselves is just an outward morality. And so God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to the cross to take upon Himself the punishment of sin and to walk in perfect obedience for all those whom God had given to Him. And there you find a perfect righteousness that will gain you entrance into the kingdom. How do you lay hold of that? How do you make that righteousness yours so that God approves of you? The Bible is very clear. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. You're not worthy of it. But it's a free gift of God to all who believe. Well, let's make that very clear, because today the church is hindered by easy believism. I believe in Jesus. But all too often, people don't know what they're saying. We're not talking about easy believism. This is the faith that brings us the righteousness of Christ so that we are approved of God. It's a faith that leads us to acknowledge our sin and to be grieved over our sin and freely to confess our sin to God and to anyone we've hurt. And it's a faith that leads us to cling to the cross as we stand in God's courtroom so that we ask God, forgive me for Christ's sake and count me righteous and sinless because of Christ's sacrifice. That's faith. And when we reach out to the cross in that faith, God gives us credit for the perfect righteousness of Christ. And that's our entrance into the kingdom. Will you seek the kingdom and a place in the kingdom? Will you seek that first? Then every day of your life, look at your life, examine your life, see your sins, confess them. You find that you're rejoicing in your sin. Pray for the grace of God to grieve over your sins and to change your attitude about sin. And go to the cross and cling to Christ. God will account you righteous. And you'll have a place in His kingdom, now and forever. And that's what it means, first of all, to be practicing the sayings of Jesus. But there's more. We said this righteousness of God has a spiritual side to it. Now we're talking about our actual behavior from day to day. The righteousness that God provides in Jesus Christ is also a righteous living according to the law of God. It's a life of obedience to God. Remember, we're born in sin. We are born in Adam, corrupt and depraved. We're bound naturally to a life of evil and sin. That's not the life of the kingdom. That's not the life of a citizen of the kingdom. The life of the kingdom is a life of obedience to God, of righteous living. In fact, Christ went to the cross, paid the price of sin, not just so that we could be righteous before God and spotless in His judgment, but so that we could even be freed from the power of sin to live new lives of obedience to God. And let's understand what that righteousness is. It's not just an outward morality. And it's not a bunch of legalisms of man-made rules and regulations. Forbidding what God does not forbid. Requiring what God does not require. That was the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Jesus is very pointed. It comes down to your heart. The great commandment of God is love God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. And all of your doing of the law must be an expression of love. Love to God. Love to your neighbor. Well, how are you going to do that? That's not our natural bent. That's not our natural way. You can do that only in Christ. Clinging to Him by faith. Getting on your knees as you face temptation. As you face the responsibilities of life in your education, in your marriage, in your family life, in your church life, and asking for God's grace in Christ to live righteously. And He freely grants it to those who seek it and ask for it. And that's the saying of Jesus. Do that every day as you go to school. And when you choose your friends, oh, you may have a strong tendency to get involved with some wrong friends. Well, pray for grace to have friends that will help you live righteously. And when you look at marriage, seek the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ so that you remain pure before marriage and you marry in the Lord. And when you raise your family, seek the righteousness that is in Christ, that God provides, that enables you to raise your family according to the Word of God in every part of your life. Have the Word of God before you. What does Jesus say? How does He want me to live? Then pray. Seek the help of God in Christ to live that way. And you'll be building a house. A house of righteousness. A house in the kingdom of God. When one lives his kind of this kind of life, he's building his house, said Jesus, on a rock. The wise man built his house upon a rock. And that rock, obviously, is Christ. Repeatedly, Jesus is compared in the Bible to a rock. Ephesians 2, verse 20, we read, "The church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." Speaking of the church, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:11, "For other foundation no man can lay than what is laid for the church, which is Jesus Christ." Jesus is called the rock because a rock is a sure and stable foundation. Seek the kingdom and the righteousness of God that gives you a place in the kingdom and that allows you and enables you and equips you to live the righteous life of the kingdom. Is to build your life on the rock, the sure foundation of Jesus Christ. In contrast, there is the foolish builder. He does not follow the sayings of Jesus as he builds the house of his life. Since he ignores what Jesus says, does not put into practice what Jesus says, he doesn't seek the kingdom, not in his education, not in the choice of friends, not in his marriage, not in his family, not in his recreation. He doesn't seek the kingdom, nor therefore does he seek the righteousness of God. His real concern is not, does God approve of me? His concern is not, do I live righteously before God according to His commandments and serve Him in love? Instead, he builds his house on the foundation of human wisdom and efforts. He seeks the things that are here below. You know, if you don't seek the kingdom of God, you don't have much choice left. All you've got are the things that are here below. The goal of your life is to have wealth or prestige or power or a good time. And in the pursuit of those, he follows not the wisdom of God, but the wisdom of men. You know, seeking the kingdom and the righteousness of God ordinarily doesn't result in wealth and prestige and power and all the joys of this world. Now, sometimes God blesses those who seek His kingdom and His righteousness with wealth and power. But that's an exception. That's not ordinarily the way to those things. The way to earthly things and power and pleasure is usually the way of disobedience. Sometimes outward morality But don't be too picky about that, and let's not go too far with that. Because there are times when outward morality will get in our way. The world knows how to get wealth and power and privilege. And those who are going to ignore the sayings of Jesus will follow the world. And they may even give lip service to the kingdom of God. And they may even convince themselves that by their outward morality, they will gain a place in the kingdom of heaven after death. Because we're talking about people in the church. But the sad thing is, the God they serve, it really is not the God who is. And the kingdom that they're talking about is not really the kingdom of God. It's simply a figment of their imagination. And so it is that someone who doesn't do the sayings of Jesus builds his house on the sand. That which is shifting has no permanency, is temporary. And that brings us to the final point. What's the result of it all? According to Jesus' parable, these two men build the houses. And then the rains come and the floods rise and the winds blow and beat upon their house, those two houses. The house that is built upon the rock, it weathers the storm and it stands. The house built upon the sand, well, it's quickly eroded. Its foundation is gone. And the house suffers a complete collapse. Jesus says the fall of it was great. In other words, it didn't just suffer some damage. And then it was able to be repaired. It suffered a complete collapse. Well, that's the way it is with the house of our lives that we build. In our lives, we're going to encounter many different storms. They include sickness, perhaps lingering, debilitating illness. There's going to be perhaps financially hard times, poverty, with depression. And many are facing that now. There's going to be conflict. Things don't always go well in marriage. Things don't always go smoothly in the home, between parents and children and brothers and sisters. There's loss of loved ones and death. There's loneliness. There's depression. There's anxiety. The list goes on. You know, none of those things existed before the fall, did they? In a perfect world, those things will not be found. These things came after the fall as the judgments of God upon the sinner. And that's not the greatest. We're not talking about the greatest storm yet. The great storm comes in the day of judgment. You can talk about the judgment at the end of your life. We can talk about the judgment at the end of the world. And you have to stand before God and give account of yourself. That's quite a storm to weather. Whether you can weather the storms of life depends on whether you've built your house upon the rock of Christ or on the sand of human wisdom and human accomplishments. The house of one's life built upon the rock of Christ will stand and weather every storm of life. If you built your life on Christ, so that you see you are seeking and have sought His kingdom, and you found a place in His kingdom, and in Christ you are living the life of the kingdom, you can weather any storm, sickness, poverty, conflict, war, loss of loved ones, your approaching death. In fact, the Bible tells us this, that if you've built your life on the rock of Christ, not only will God see you through those storms of life, but He will also turn them to your profit so that they prepare you for eternity. And yes, then when you do stand before the judge, your maker, well, you're standing on the rock, and you will weather that storm too. And He will receive you and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." The house of your life will stand into eternity. But if you have built your house upon the sand of human wisdom and human effort and achievement, the house of your life is going to suffer complete collapse. Without Christ, with just the wisdom and the help of man, what are you going to do when you have a debilitating illness and there's no fix? Or what are you going to do when the economy completely collapses and you're bankrupt? Or what will you do when you lose your partner, or you see your own death approaching? What are you going to do? What is there that man has, in all his wisdom and efforts, that's going to salvage your life? Oh, it's true that there are those with wealth and position that are able in many ways to insulate themselves from the weathers, the storms of life, and they weather many things. But what happens at death? And what happens in the day of judgment? And all you've got to show are your human accomplishments, your wealth, your pleasure, your good times, your prestige, and you stand before God without Christ. The whole house of your life will suffer total and complete collapse. And so we see what true wisdom is all about. How foolish, how utterly foolish to ignore the storms of life that will certainly come. That's what one does when he ignores the sayings of Jesus as he goes about building his life. Pray that God keeps you from such foolishness. True wisdom is that we heed the sayings of Jesus Christ as we build the house of our life, so that we build our life on Him and in Him find a place in His kingdom to stand righteous before God and to live the righteous life of the kingdom. Oh, how wise that is. May God grant that to every one of us. Tonight we heard the confession of faith. As I said, that's a confession in part that one knows the sayings of Jesus, embraces them, and is practicing them. Ryan, you made a good confession before the consistory tonight. I know you're a man of wisdom. Continue in that. As a member of this congregation, and as a husband and a father, may all of us live that same faith, being wise builders, building the house of our life upon the rock of Christ. Amen. Father in heaven, we give thanks for thy word. We give thanks for Jesus Christ and for the kingdom and for our life in the kingdom. Lord, lead us to be wise, wise builders as we build the house of our lives. Lead us always to build upon Christ, seeking his kingdom and the righteousness that's in his and him alone. Hear us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.